turn your Bibles today to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. And start reading at version number, well, just stay seated for a minute. And I'll tell you what verse in a moment. But in this chapter, and for sake of time, I'll try to just get you up to date on it. And starting at verse 8, you'll find the king of Syria had declared war on Israel, and they were warned and had war going on. And verse 9 talks about the man of God, that's Elisha, and talks about him that every time the king of Syria would say where he's going to be, Elisha would send to the king of Israel, and he'd tell him not to be there. And in verse number 11, you'll find that the king of Syria said unto them, "Will not you show me which one of you is for the king of Israel?" He thought somebody was betraying him. And then in verse 12, they said, no, wasn't that. It was Elisha over in Israel that was doing that. Now look at verse number 13. I want you to stand, please, while we read that verse and begin there and reading down through here. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they that came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" He answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of the fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." He smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. We'll stop reading there. We'll pick up some more here in a little bit, the Lord being our helper. But let's bow our heads and pray. Father, again, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I do pray for Sister McIntosh. You'd help her in a special way with that divine touch of God. And Father, I pray for this service now here today. We have come together to worship. We have come to hear from heaven, and I pray the power of the Holy Ghost would work in our hearts. I praise you for what you've already done. I thank you for the moving of the Spirit of God. I thank you for speaking to our hearts and the singing of the songs. I thank you in the time of praying for our dear sister. I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and are doing. And I pray now in Jesus' name that you rebuke the devil, the powers of evil. I plead the blood. I plead Jesus and ask you to make it real to our hearts today in the preaching. And Lord, I realize we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we today come and plead for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus and the power of God, the Holy Ghost, to do a work. And in this house, somehow today, Lord, we sense a need of somebody to be saved and somebody, Lord, that's wrestling with this thing. You have been building toward that all this service. And I pray today you'd speak to that precious heart, bring them to Jesus and save, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I want to preach on the subject today, Lord, help us see. Lord, help us see. And I pray that God will help us to see. And in this, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "While we look not at the things which do appear, but the things which do not appear, for the things which do appear are temporal, but the things which do not appear are eternal." What he's saying is, what you see with your physical eye is temporal, but what you see with your spiritual eye is eternal. And I'm longing for God to help us to see. I want to see something. Amen. I want to see something. And I'm not talking about seeing it physically, but spiritually and understanding that thing. I want you to turn with me in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 17. beginning there anyway. Listen to what it says. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He said, I want the eyes of your understanding to be opened. And in Latin, he said, I want you to understand. I want you to see. You ever been talking to somebody and they say, I see. They're saying, I understand it. And eyes being opened. Lord, help us see. And we're going to look at this closely here in a few moments. But in Revelation 3:18, he talking about the church at Laodicea and talking about all the problems they had. They thought these rich increased good, had need of nothing. And he said these poor and wretched and miserable, naked and all that and blind. But then in verse 18, I believe it is, he said, anoint thine eyes with eyesight that thou mayest see. Now, he wasn't talking physically. They could see physically, but they wouldn't see where they were spiritually. I pray today, God, help us see where our help comes from and see where our hope really is. And God, help us see our lives if they're not where they need to be. And God, help see if we're unsaved, that we need to get saved and born in the family of God. Help us see the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior that there is. He is the only Savior that there is. And much has been said here today. It moved us in a ram. I think that you'll see what I'm preaching today, that I believe that God has been in all of it. And God has been building this thing. And I hadn't said anything to anybody about anything I preach. Most of the time, my wife don't even know what I'm thinking about preaching, because I don't want the devil to know what I'm preaching. Now, I didn't mean to call her a devil. I just lost that one. If anybody's fixing lunch and like to have a visitor, I'd like to come. Let me try to get out of this hole I just dug. I'm not going to get out of it. I might as well forget it. I meant I don't tell anybody most of the time. Sometime I may be thinking about something I may mention to somebody. Now, I know the devil's always around. He probably sneaks in and sees what I'm studying and all that. I understand all that. But I just come out before I thought. Wasn't the way I meant it, honey, honest. Y'all ever slept in an outbuilding? Well, I'm going to try to preach here in a minute. Yeah, may the Lord help us today. I need special touch, sure enough. Well, let's get a drink of water. I'll ask one if she wants any water. She'd probably throw it at me. Well, anyway, y'all know what I meant. I hope you do. But in our preaching, I believe that God has everything in order. And I don't understand everything God does. And everything doesn't always line up and make itself so prevalent as it has today. But God knows what we need in this hour. And as I was seeking God, trying to find the will of God for preaching, and struggling with that, I thinking about this, and God began to show me some things about this that I preached this area before, but not like I'm going to do it today. But I pray that God would help us, that we will see. And Lord, help us see. And I believe in revival meeting, God helped us see some things. I believe God helped us come to grips with some truths that we needed to come to grips with, and helped us with those things. But here's a situation now that I tried to, before I read the scripture, build you up to, that Syria fighting Israel, and every time they'd set an ambush, as it were, Elisha, God would tell Elisha, and he'd tell Israel's king, and they wouldn't go there. And King Assyria got so messed up, he thought sure somebody was a traitor in his camp. And so that's the setting of it. And he wanted to find Elisha, and found out he's down at Dothan, sends an army after him. And so the situation looks bad. Now, let's look at the servant of Elisha, and we'll call him the servant. We're going to look at the sinners, if you would, and that's the Assyrians. And then we'll look at the seer. And if you want to alliterate it, we'll look at it that way, like prophet Elisha. In old times was called a seer. But here we find these three different categories anyway. And look in verse number 15. And we're talking about the servant. When the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? Here's a picture. The servant goes out in the morning and he sees an army out there. He sees all the host of Syria. They've come against them. And here he is. He's a servant of Elisha. And he knows they've come to get them. And he's in a mess. He's looking at the enemy and that's all he sees. He sees the enemy. He sees an army. He sees chariots. He sees horses. He sees all of that. And he's afraid, he's troubled and tore up about it. Sometimes we in our lives, all we see is the problem. All we can see is what's the situation around us and the physical things that's around us. You remember when Israel was at Kadesh Barnea and they sent the spies in, sent 12 spies in, and they came back and Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. Said it's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's a good land. God promised it to us. Let's go get it. But the other 10, all they could see was they was giants in that land. All they could see was there's walled cities in that land. And all they could see was a great opposition that they felt like and looked at themselves and said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And we can't go in there and we can't take that land. But they were looking at it from the physical. Joshua and Caleb were looking at it from the spiritual, and they are seeing something that the other 10 wasn't seeing. What they were seeing was, hey, God's able to give us that land, and let's take it. Let me give you another good example of what I'm trying to say here. When Israel was fighting the Philistines, you remember? And Goliath was coming out roaring, and give me a man, give me somebody that'll fight me. And here's what he was saying was, if they kill me, then we'll be your servant. But if I kill him, then y'all will be our servants. And so Israel, and he was cursing God. He's blaspheming God, that's what the Bible said. And making fun of Israel. And making shame of them. And they were hiding back behind the rocks and everywhere they could. They was afraid to go out there and fight. All they could see was a giant standing out there. And see him with a spear like the size of a weaver's beam. And see him standing out there roaring and daring anybody to come out and fight him. All they could see was, we don't have a man. Now Saul was a king. And Saul, when he was made king, said he was shoulders and head above everybody else. But he looked like a grasshopper inside of that giant. And so he was afraid to go out there and fight him. And nobody else would go out there and fight him. And here come a little shepherd boy named David. And David looked out there, and you know what he saw? He saw a God that was great enough to handle that problem that they didn't see. All they could see was a giant. All he could see was a great victory for the Lord God of heaven. All he could see was Israel getting a victory. I say hallelujah. I want to see like he saw. I want to see some things that a natural man don't see. Hey, we can see the problems. We can see the difficulty. We can see all the sin. We can see all that. I want to see what God can do. And that goes beyond what man sees. And all they saw was a giant. And David said, I see a God. He said, is that not a God that's able to handle him? He said, he helped me kill a bear. He helped me kill a lion back there and on the backside somewhere watching sheep. And said, I believe he's able to help me kill this giant. And David wasn't depending on himself. David didn't see himself as a great man or a great fighter, could go out there and fight that man. He didn't see that. He saw God. He saw God able. He saw someone defying the armies of God and making fun of his God. And he thought in himself, that ought not to be. And somebody ought to go fight that man. and said, I'll be the man. I'll go. Because he saw beyond the giant and saw God able to slay him. He knew that rock he slew couldn't do it unless God put his hand on it and moved it and put it where it ought to be. He knew that. But David saw something they didn't see and got to work. And I say, hallelujah. That servant walked out there. He looked around. He couldn't see anything but the chariots and army. And he saw doom. That's all he could see. And he was in a mess out there like that. We'll leave it right there for a minute. And look at the sinners, the Syrians. They came. And here they are. And they seeing the poor little old fellow over here in Dothan. They're going to get him. They see a victory. But they fail to see there's a God in heaven who's going to protect him and help him. And they fail to see that God can take care of their situation and hurt them. Look at verse 12. One of his servants said, talking to the king of Syria, none, my lord, said, we don't have a traitor in our midst. But said, O king, Elisha, the prophet, saying, over there in Israel, there's one named Elisha, the prophet. He's the one telling what you speak in your bedchamber. He knows what you're talking about when you not nobody else even around. He knows what you're talking about. And they didn't understand all that, but God was telling Elisha what was going on. Have you ever noticed sometime preaching, you preachers know this, I preached before and somebody go out and said, who told you? How'd you know what I'm doing? I've had people come to me and say, how come you preach that? How come you know about that? And I didn't know anything about what they were doing or what was going on. But God did, and God does that. You ever been under real conviction and felt like everything the preacher said, every time he pointed his finger, he's saying it to you. I saw somebody back there waving their hand. Amen. Every time he preached, he's pointing his finger at you or he's talking directly to you. Have you ever gone out of service and felt like you was the only one there? And that preacher poured it on you. And he gave it all to you. Amen. That's Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. Here's a picture of Holy Ghost conviction. Here's a picture of it. That king, he wondered what's going on. How come things are happening like they're happening? Sinners getting under conviction now. And I can't hardly wait to get where I'm going because it's good when I get there. And Brother Billy Mitchell said, I am going somewhere with this. Just hang on. And so there he was. And look at verse number 18, if you would please. We didn't read that today, but look at it. I don't know where I did or not. Verse 18, they came down to him, and Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray they was blind. Now, Elisha's praying that God make them blind. They singing a while ago, hallelujah. Told you can't wait till I get there. They singing a while ago, I'm glad I got lost. Hallelujah. Here's a picture of it. They had to get blind before they could ever find out where they were. Woo! I'll have myself a spell thinking about this. I'm glad, praise God, that there they were. And they were struggling and they couldn't figure it out. And he couldn't figure it out. But Elisha, when he got down there and they thought they had the battle won, Elisha just prayed God blind them. Amen. And by the way, when they were blinded, they didn't have to ask their neighbor, can I see? They feeling around. They didn't ask somebody, am I blind? They said, what in the world happened? I'm blind. I can't see. I can't find my way. I need some help. Amen. There they were. I say, glory, hallelujah. But look in verse number 20. And then the king of Israel said, Elisha, shall I slay him? Shall I slay him? They knew they was under death penalty then. They were blinded. And, of course, they got their eyesight back. We'll get to that in a minute. But there they are. And they realize where they are. And so they're in a mess, and they realize that. But then I want you to notice the seer or the servant, the prophet of God. In verse number 12, of course, he talks about him. But then I want you to see in verse number 16. And he answered. Now he's talking to his servant. He answered, fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now, he was helping the king of Israel. He's telling him where the enemy is. And picture and seeing the enemy getting under conviction. Oh, God working. And here his servant is. He's a saved person. And he's seeing a problem. He's seeing a need.
And here's a man of God. And he walks out and he sees something the servant didn't see. He said, "Now fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them." I'm sure that servant at first looked around and said, "Boy, I don't see him. I don't see what you see. All I see is this problem. All I see is there's a bunch of men out there that's got swords and spears and horses and chariots, and we're in a mess." But that prophet of God walked out and said, "Fear not." Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, the fear not is in the Word of God. Problem may look big. It may look insurmountable. It may seem like there's no answer. You may think there's no hope. But hold on. I'm about to get to the solution now. And I'm glad that situation looks bad. But boy, there's a good solution to this problem. And here they are. Then the situation looks bad. And they're having a hard time. The servant is. And the enemy is. And there's a man of God. He's just seeing something they're not seeing. Lord, help us see today. Help us see something. I pray God to help you see something. Now look at it with me. As we see here the servant, as Elisha went out there and told him, "Fear not." But look in verse 17. "And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes.'" Now he prayed, "God, shut the eyes of the enemy, but open the eyes of the people of God," the servant of Elisha. There's a message in that. I'm trying to dig it out because I know that those that are unsaved are blinded and they need to see. They're blind and realize they don't know the way. They try to get the way. They think they know the way. But all if they ever realize they're blind and they need some help, it'll be some help to them. But this prophet of God, he didn't want this servant to be blinded. He prayed God open his eyes. And he did. And look what he saw. In verse number 17, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. He's standing out there trembling, shaking, and thinking about all that enemy. And all of a sudden, God opened his eyes, and he looked up. When Elisha said, "He's more with us than you are with him," he looked up, and there was chariots of fire and horsemen all around. I believe he turned all the way around and said, "Whoo, hallelujah, I see now what you see." And what are they compared to what are they up there? I believe they up there can handle them down here. And so I believe that young man said, "Whoo, hallelujah, it don't look so bad after all. I don't see the problem so bad, so big. I see a God that's got his army around." And I want to tell you tonight, today, whatever time it is, he's God around us here today. Hallelujah. Amen. And God's camped round about with an army. I can't see him as a physical eye, but thank God. I'm glad there's something I can see that Peter can't see. And that's God Almighty that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I ask or think. What's your problem? There's a God in heaven. By faith, Moses, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Hallelujah. God's people see the invisible. Somebody said about Moses, he saw the invisible, chose the imperishable, and did the impossible. Hallelujah. But he never would have chose what he chose. He never would have did what he did had he not seen what he seen. And he saw the invisible. I say hallelujah. Praise God, we need to see God. Amen. But I noticed, I said this thing going to get good. And here they are now. He see, that's good. He saw the armies of God. He knew he had help. That servant, I believe, relaxed. I believe he looked around at Elisha and smiled and said, "Whoop, hallelujah. And that don't look bad at all anymore. We got somebody to help us." It's like David seeing the giant. He just said, "We got some help." Hey, man, we got some help, folk. We've got help. Now, notice something about this. Verse 18, when they came down, he prayed. And this is the enemy now. Here's the sinners coming. And he's praying for them. They'd be blind. They were blind. Notice verse 19. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me. I'll bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. He took them right into the main city of the Israel, northern kingdom. He took them in there, and they were right in the midst of them. And they were blind. See, what he's doing, he's getting them ready. So he's going to do something for them. Now watch it closely. It gets so good, I can't hardly stand myself thinking about it. Here they are, and they're right in the middle of the enemy. Look at verse number 20. And it came to pass when they were come to Samaria, and that Elisha said, Lord, open their eyes of these men that they may see. And they prayed first for them to be blind. Now he's praying for them to see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And my, here they are right in the midst of the ones who've been fighting, trying to destroy. Right in the midst of them, they're helpless. And then the king said, and it came to pass when they were come to Samaria, that Elijah said, Lord, open their eyes. And he opened, and they saw. But look at verse 21. King of Israel said unto Elijah when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Here they are right in the midst of the enemy, and realize they're about, they could, all they had to do was kill them. And they were doomed. And that's, we had to get to the place where we saw that we were blind. And God had to give us enough light. I'm glad somebody prayed for me to have some enough sight so I could see what I needed. And somebody prayed for me. And God gave me enough sight that I could see that I was right in the middle of it. I was doomed and damned. And I was in the death penalty. And I was going to hell. And I didn't have any help. I needed somebody to help me. And the king of Israel said, man, shall I just slay them? And there they were. But notice, thank God, somebody, here's a prophet, here's a seer, here's that one, Elisha, here's the intercessor, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and here he is, and he's going to intercede for them. Now, the king of Israel, he knew that the king of Syria had been trying to kill him and destroy Israel, so all he wanted to do was kill him and get him out of the way. But notice verse number 22, and here's Elisha answering, shall not, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to the master. Here, he said, well, don't kill them. Put some bread and water before them. Jesus said, I am the bread come down from heaven. He said, I am the water of life. Hallelujah. He said, put some bread and water before them. Hallelujah. Here they are. They're in a mess. They've been blinded now. They got their eyesight and they can see. They realize where they are and think they're going to die. And here comes an intercessor. He steps in and said, no, don't kill them. Set some bread and water out there before them and feed them. Hallelujah. I say glory, hallelujah. That's what God did for me one day. I saw myself lost and going to hell, and I thought I'll drop off into hell. And Jesus stepped out and said, no, no, I paid his price. I took his place. I put the bread before him and let him feast on me. Put some water of life in him. Let him live. Let it be a spring of living water springing up on the inside. I say glory, hallelujah. Look at verse number 23. And he prepared great provision for them. He didn't just prepare them a little bit. He prepared a great setting for them. And thank God they got fed good and they were satisfied. And help, can't you imagine? That crowd sitting in there among all the enemy they've been trying to fight. Every time they tried to ambush them, they got found out. And here they are, they come. And they thought they had Elisha taken. Here they are right in the midst of the enemy, think they're going to die. And then God makes a way for them. They get their eyesight back. Then they get fed. They get taken care of. Not just taken care of, but a great provision provided for them. That's grace and abounding grace. Just give them more than they deserved. Going to let them go. He set them free. Hallelujah. That's what Jesus did for me. He set me free. But I want to point this out to you and I'm finished. Last sentence in verse number 23. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. You know what? They got changed. Hallelujah. Something happened to them. They were changed. They didn't come back to fight Israel anymore. They got changed, Brother Bill. I'm glad God did something for them. That's what God wants to do for somebody that's lost in here today. The choir sang that song, "I'm Glad I Got Lost." These men, they were probably glad they got blinded so they could get before they got and get what the great provision they got and then get out and set free. Went back, never came no more to Israel to fight. Hallelujah. You're struggling today. Some folks sitting in this house is struggling whether you know you're saved or not. You're struggling whether you're going to go to heaven or not. I'm glad Jesus will save you today if you'll come. He says, whosoever will, let him come. I pray today in your blindness that God will give you enough sight that you can see that Jesus is a Savior and you can come to him and be saved. Then if you're saved and those things that may be in your life, those problems, those difficulties that look so big, and they are big in men's eyes and our eyes, but look beyond that and see God, a God that's able to help you, a God that can do something for you. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Lord, help us to see. Just like that servant saw, just like that army saw, Lord, help us to see. Father, I pray over this house that you'd help us to see today what we need to see. Lord, help us see that Jesus Christ is the only way there is to heaven, being born again. I pray the Holy Ghost will make it real to hearts of those who are struggling, those who are in blindness. I pray enough light would come they could realize they need to get saved. God, you have the table of provision provided for them. You're the bread of life, the water of life. They can come and be born in the family of God. Then for those today that are here and they're facing situations and things that's so difficult, they need some help. I pray they'll see beyond the difficulties and see a great God that is able to help them. Thank you, Lord. There's more with us than there are with them. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for that we cannot see that is eternal that can help us. I pray in this invitation, may the Holy Spirit speak to hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.